See, so sometimes speaking the truth harshly can alienate people. So how important is this to speak the truth softly, or is it that we should just speak the truth and whatever the result? See, basically, we can see that speaking Krishna's message is like treating a sick person. The sickness of people is that they're ignorant. They are having some, not just ignorant, they're having some misconceptions. Those misconceptions need to be removed. And while we are doing that, now sometimes surgery is required. So, often this example is given in scripture that the sadhu's words cut like a surgeon's scalpel. They cut and they remove the misconceptions. That is true. And sometimes we do have to challenge people's misconceptions. At the same time, if we consider when a surgery is done, surgery is never the first line of treatment, or very rarely. It's not that as soon as the patient comes in the hospital, immediately, tuck, surgery. No. First there's diagnosis, then there is explanation, and there is most important in the surgery is done is consent. You know, without a consent, usually surgery is not done. So consent basically means that that person, with respect to our preaching scenario, consent basically means that that person accepts us as some kind of authority. If that person is not accepted as an authority, then our words will not work. They'll just simply, who are you? Who are you to instruct me like this? So, first of all, there are other courses of treatment that are done. The explanation is given, consent is taken. Even after that, anesthesia is given. So, then the surgery is done. So, anesthesia basically means creating a loving relationship, helping people to feel comfortable. So, it's when there is a loving relationship, within that loving relationship, if sometimes some strong words are spoken, people accept it. Even then, it is painful, but people accept it. And then, even after the surgery is done, you know, pain medicine is given, you know, to help the patient deal with it. So, even modern psychologists talk about like a sandwich formula, you know, plus minus plus. You know, you appreciate the person, give some room for correction, or tell some point to correct, tell some fault, and then again appreciate them. So basically, whenever we have to correct a misconception, we have to do it in such a way that the person doesn't feel rejected or insulted. That how that we do that, that's up to that is that will vary according to time, place, circumstance. So if our we keep our goal clear, our goal is to help this person come closer to Krishna. Now, sometimes it's like say in some temples, if you go, you know, the step you have to climb up, it's like you know, 2-3 feet tall step only. So you have to do a high jump to get into that step. Very few people will climb, people feel disheartened. I don't want to come here. You know, if there is a temple with just small steps, easily people can climb up. So sometimes for people to give up a particular understanding and take up another understanding, that may be like a big leap for them. They can't do it at that time. So then we have to create some alternative way for them. I have some small steps forward, small steps. It's not that either it is necessary or is it possible that we can counter people's misconceptions in the first go or even in a few meetings. What we need to do is we need to help them develop faith. And once we have developed faith, then gradually, so it's like bridge building. So if they are it's like a mountain peak. They have certain conceptions right now. We are on another mountain peak. We have the understanding based on scripture. So in between, now we have to get them from there to here. So we build a bridge. Build a bridge means we speak in a way, conduct ourselves in a way that they start developing some appreciations of it. It's an intelligent person, nice person. I would like to know them more. Then they start crossing the bridge. Now, once they have crossed the bridge and come to this mountain, then you can break the bridge. That means, you know, now they've come, then we can challenge their misconception, correct it. But if they just put their first step on the bridge, and then you break the bridge, what will happen? Hey, they'll just go back. Just go back, you know. They will say, hey, you people are so fanatical. I don't want to come here. Or worst is when they're halfway on the bridge. and then we break. You know, say somebody is worshipping some devata, somebody is worshipping some other spiritual, is following some other spiritual teacher. And he's saying, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. Whatever we have to speak, we speak all that. And what happens in this? I think, you know, this whole thing is so confusing, you know. People talk about this God, that God. I don't want to be in this business only. Just forget it. They become atheistic. At least they were pious earlier. Now they become atheistic. So we did not do any service. We actually did a disservice to them. So if we keep our goal that we want to help people come closer to Krishna, then we'll speak appropriately according to their level. Now, all this is not to say that we should not speak strongly. But we should be able to understand what strong speak means. Strong speaking is not just speaking in a way that that involves some harsh words or judgmental words. Strong speaking is that speaking which strongly transforms people. So now, in some emergency situations, sometimes a doctor may do a surgery without any of the preliminaries. There's a war field where there are many soldiers who are wounded. No, there's no time for seeking consent. There's no time even to give anesthesia. You know, it's not available. So doctor may do surgery at that time without any of the preliminaries. But that is not the standard practice. And that is not what everybody needs to do. So there are times when Srila Prabhupada, he was very, for a very short time with us. And Prabhupada did at times use strong words like fools and rascals. But so Prabhupada was, in a sense, doing surgery without anesthesia. But if we, I did once, I have an elaborate article on this topic. I did a study of Prabhupada's books, you know. So Prabhupada uses the word, strong word like fools and rascals, mostly in his conversations, which were with his disciples. These people who have already accepted his authority, and it's a close circle of people who are talking with him. So something like, say, the Prabhupada may use the word fools and rascals, maybe something like 700 times, I don't remember the exact figure, I have that in my article, in his conversations. But in his books, he uses it barely 50 times. And especially in those which he wrote as books to be published. Some of his books are, or the articles which he compiled together as books. Like Bhagavatam, CC, Bhagavad Gita, NOD, those are books which he wrote. It's not even 20 times. So Prabhupada had a very calibrated approach. So for those, it was a close circle where people had already accepted his authority and they had already crossed over the bridge, and Prabhupada, he wanted to break the bridge now. So at that time he spoke those things. So Prabhupada also said that, you know, I can do this, because he had the advantage of age, he had the advantage of compassion, he had the advantage of his purity of intention. When we speak strongly, you know, what happens is words that come from the heart touch the heart. Words that come from the ego trigger the ego. So when we speak, you know, how much is it really? Oh, this person is suffering because of the misconception and I want them to be free from suffering. Or how much is it, you know, this person is wrong and I am going to prove how he's wrong, how they're wrong. We really don't know. So it's best to err on the side of caution. You know, Prabhupada had that capacity, you know, he could just, like, you know, he had the power that he could get people to take that high jump and go up 3 feet in one go. But for us, we may not have that. So again, we shouldn't become judgmental of others if they are doing that. If some devotees feel inspired to speak strongly, it's up to them. But we have to see whether the effect is there or not. See, the point is not strong preaching or soft preaching, the point is effective preaching. Effective preaching means the effect is we want to get people to come closer to Krishna. So how best can we help people come closer to Krishna? That we have to see based on our situation and the results, and then we help people to come closer. Sounds your question? So thank you very much. La Prabhupada ki.